Right, I got it. All right, I want to start off with a popular song about our theme. So I'm going to give you some words, and then you got to finish what the chorus is. Here we go. In the words of the ever popular Celine Dion, all right? Living alone, I think of all the friends I've known, but when I dial the telephone, nobody's home. What's the chorus? Thank you. All by myself. Who said that one? No one wants to admit it, Yvonne. All right, there you go. All right. Now, on our theme, for the next one, let's see how good you are. Northside, I have three musical clues, and you are going to guess who is singing or what the name of this song is. Because this is fun, and it's Christmas time. So here we go. You hear that? Very good. And what's the name of the song?
Are You Lonely?
I'm lonesome tonight. Next one. Here we go. Thank you, Courtney. All right, here we go. Next one was?
I Want to Dance with Somebody.
I Want to Dance with Somebody, Whitney Houston. Last one. And then with these three songs and the fourth one with Celine Dion, you have to tell me what the overall, don't say it yet, theme is of each of these songs. Here we go. I try to have something for everyone here today. Kristen, do you know it? Oh, nice. All right. If you don't know the name of it, it is The Motels, Only the Lonely. So with all four of those songs, can anyone tell me what the overarching theme is?
Loneliness.
Do you think this is a graduation fair? No, it's a lonely fair. Loneliness is our hot topic today. And you might say, what is Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody? I knew some of you would be judging me. So there's a line, Courtney, there's a line that's on When the Night Falls, My Loneliness Calls. And I'm translating that as spiritual loneliness, all right? In a recent poll, 7,000 people were asked, how often do you feel lonely? 1% said never. 2% said rarely. 9% said sometimes. 30% said often. 57% said very often. You know, many times when God has told us to wait on something, whether it be healing, a change in life's direction, wait on an impulse to spend, wait on an answer to prayer, wait on an end to a very difficult time in our lives, we can feel lonely in our waiting, right? We can feel like we're waiting all by ourselves. Right? Nobody understands, sometimes believing nobody cares, feeling isolated, waiting on God to lead us, to deliver us, to protect us, to provide for us, to heal us, to instruct us. Sometimes we feel lonely in our waiting.
Yes.
But here's our Advent truth this morning, and here it is. While we are waiting on God, we are waiting with God. He is there the whole time. God doesn't take vacations. He doesn't need a vacation, right? God does not get bored with us in our situation and need to take a time out from us. God does not get annoyed by us and leave the room angry. God does not forget we are there. God is there the whole time in our waiting. He is there. He can do that. He can do that because he's God. And we can trust that he can do that because God is powerful, God is loving, God is all-knowing, and he can be everywhere at all times. He's God. So this morning, we're going to talk about God's presence while we wait. But first, I want to go a little back in Scripture. Actually, I want to go really far back in Scripture to the beginning where God established a relationship with his people. Genesis
Don't look at that yet. I think I left out a verse. Let me go back. That's a spoiler right there. All right, so Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." We are the only part of God's creation that he makes in his own image. Yeah. That is pretty amazing stuff, right? It's not that we look like God because God is spirit, and it's not that we have all of God's attributes because then we would be God. But it's that we have the characteristics that the rest of the creation does not have. We have the ability to reflect the image of God. That means in our character, we can love, and we can be patient, and we can be forgiving, and we can be kind, and we can have faithfulness. These attributes allow us to have a genuine relationship with our Creator. It's fantastic. And God creates people, our first two, Adam and Eve, right? We know, and he sets them up in this beautiful garden, this beautiful environment to live, and he gives them free reign except for one rule.
One rule.
He says, you can't do this one thing. And if you haven't read it, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert, okay? They do that one thing that God asked them not to do. And I've told you this before, if it wouldn't have been them, it would have been me, all right? We would have messed up someplace along the line. So they screw up, and it introduces sin into the world. And they don't quite fully get what that means, but it brings sin into the world. And instantly, when they sin against God, they change. Something changes. They're embarrassed, and they're ashamed, and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, we're naked. Right? They freak out because they're naked. And then they decide, they hear God coming in the garden because guess what? God wants to be with his people. God's presence wants to be with his people. So it's not an odd thing that God's in the garden. It's a normal thing that God's in the garden with them. But this time, because they've sinned, God comes, he shows up, and they're freaking out, and they want to hide from God because they are ashamed and embarrassed and feel guilty. And scripture says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" It's so funny that they hide from God, right? It's like kids playing hide and seek badly, right?
Right?
Or this one, right? Adam and Eve, they try to hide from an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. It's ridiculous. It's this, right? And even if they had the very best hiding place in the world, he's God. We can't hide from God. It's interesting because when we aren't living God's way, when you and I are disobeying God, we try to hide from God because we feel guilty. And the way we try to hide from God is we avoid neglecting to pray because we just don't want to go there and apologize for the same thing over and over again. We avoid church. We do that. We avoid fellow believers because we don't want to be called out by them. So we try to hide from God's presence when we feel we've sinned against him. But when we need him, we think God's hiding from us. Right? Where are you? You know, I need you right now. Or we question where his presence is, or if he cares, or he can be everywhere at one time. And we say, where's that comfort, God? And where are those miracles, God? And where's that provision, God? And where's that guidance, God? Where are you? Are you hiding from me? You know, whether we're avoiding him or we are searching for him, truth is, he's there the whole time.
Amen.
He's there the whole time. He's God. It's just who he is. It's what he does, right? So back to our story. God knows exactly what had happened. He knows that they have sinned, and he knows the consequences of the sin. Adam and Eve, they don't really get the magnitude of what just happened. They feel guilty. They feel freaked out about their naked bodies, but they don't understand. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. And so it begins. Sin brings death. Sin disrupts our relationship with a perfect God. It's not that God has cut us off from his presence. It's our guilt because of our sin. We're starting to draw away from a perfect God. So the relationship has changed. It's become, if they were on a Facebook status, it's become complicated, right? Right? The presence of God is disrupted on our end.
And now there's a need for reconciliation. There's a need for forgiveness. There's a need for atonement. If you have ever doubted that God wants a relationship with you, let me tell you that he was willing to go all out for you in order for you to experience his presence. And this is where the gift of the Savior comes. This is why Christmas and Easter are such big deals. Romans 5:15 says, "But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ." So Christmas, the Savior, comes to earth for us. Easter, the Savior dies for us, conquers death, comes back to life so that we can live and experience God's presence now and throughout eternity. He went all in. That's how much he loves us. That is how much he loves you. Yeah. He wants a forever relationship with you that much. He sends Jesus to take the consequences of that sin that happened long ago in the garden so that he can give forgiveness, so that we can have the presence of God with us all the time. God wants to be with his kids. That is why we know that while we are waiting on God, we are waiting with God. He is there the whole time. Look what John 1:14 says about Jesus. "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." God's presence on earth in Jesus. That's amazing. And that's our Christmas story. Matthew 1:18-23 says, "And this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in dreams and said, 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us." This text should give us chills, because first, there's the plan. He will save his people from their sins. The Savior, the answer to the problem that was created in the beginning with the first sin. Colossians 1:22 says, "Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." That's amazing. That's what the Savior does. He makes it right for us to stand before God. And then second, they call him Emmanuel, which literally means God is with us. He is right here. He is right here before your very eyes. God's presence literally living among his people. You know, many times in our waiting, we think we're waiting for something very particular to rescue us or relieve us. It could be justice to be served to a very bad person. It could be a check to come in the mail. It could be a settlement. It could be an end to pain. It could be a new job. It could be a new relationship. It could be the ending of a bad relationship. It could be a healing. It could be passing calculus. It could be a freedom from an addiction. It can be reconciliation with a family member or a friend. We can have a very, very, very specific idea of what we are waiting on that will satisfy us or complete us. We know that God can provide all those things. He's God. He can give them to them instantly, right? And that's exactly what we might think we need, but it's not what will ever satisfy. It will never satisfy. Jesus is what satisfies. Yes. Jesus is truly and absolutely and unconditionally all we need.
Yes.
Amen. Oswald Chambers said this, it's not God's promises we need, it is God himself. And Louis Giglio, who has been the author of the book series we're doing here, Waiting for You, the framework of our series, says this. Jesus doesn't just give you what you need. Jesus is what you
yes,
need.
Thank you.
Your
thank
heart
you.
Was created by him, for him. You can fight and claw to gain the world, but without Jesus, you will never be completely satisfied. So in our waiting, he's here. He's here the whole time. He doesn't go anywhere. And in our waiting, even though we think we can't, we can be satisfied. You can be satisfied in your waiting because God is with us. Emmanuel, it is all you need. Think about what God with us actually means. It means that Jesus understands what it's like to be human. You know, the child born on Christmas lived a complete human life, right? He understands the world's deepest joys, and he understands the world's deepest pains. He gets what it's like to be human, to be loved and to love, to be mistreated, to have to work hard, to suffer, to be alone, betrayed, abandoned. He understands the pain of losing a loved one. He understands what it's like to cry. He understands what it's like to be in horrific physical pain. He knows what the weight of sin feels like because he carried the entire world on his shoulders when he was nailed to the cross. He knows the feeling of what it's like He knows what it's like to be ready to die. And he knows the agony of a torturous death. I love how Hebrews paints it in Hebrews 4. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find his grace to help us when we need it most. Could you read the last part with me? This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. When you are in a tough situation, a heartbreaking situation, who do you want to be with you?
Jesus.
Someone who gets it, right? Someone who understands, someone who's been there. That's who Jesus is. He's been there, right? That's who our God is. He is the greatest comfort that we could ever know because he understands.
Yes.
So think about that when you say, while we are waiting on God, we are waiting with God. He is there the whole time. And he gets it.
Yes.
Gets it. You know, God was so serious about our relationship, his presence with us, from the garden to Jesus coming to earth to now, and that as he approached his death, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, this is what he told his believers. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He says, I'm promising my presence now in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God willing to come live inside all who believe and profess faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So while we're waiting on God and we are waiting with God, he's there the whole time in the form of the Holy Spirit in us. We're never alone. You know, and the Holy Spirit isn't just like a silent buddy who's just kind of holding your hand, or just that person who just is in the room keeping you company. When the Holy Spirit is with you in your waiting, power comes. We're empowered. Luke 24:49 says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes, this is the first time it was coming, and fills you with power from heaven. So while we're waiting, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and it's powerful. So it gives you strength to wait, or it gives you strength to not act on something God doesn't want you to do, right? Or it gives you courage to say things, or it gives you courage to not say things. And it gives gifts like faith and mercy and teaching and wisdom. It's powerful. So in our waiting, not only are we not alone, we're given the Holy Spirit that empowers us. And while we're waiting, not only does the Holy Spirit empower us, it guides us.
Amen.
1 John 2:27 says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. Keep coming to church though. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches you is true. It's not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. The Spirit is our true north. It tells us how to live and how not to live and where to go and where not to go, to move or to stay still. It's our perfect lie detector in our truth serum. If God tells you to stay put, to wait, the Holy Spirit is going to affirm that to you. And in your waiting, God's going to give you feedback because you have the Holy Spirit. If you've ever been on hold for a customer care call, right? Every once in a while, you get one of those systems. I actually like them that count down your wait time. So I might be like, current wait time, 9 minutes, right? Or there are 3 customers ahead of you. You know, something like that. It's annoying, but it's also comforting, right? Because it gives us guidance of what's going on. Hey, wait. Hey, keep waiting. Hey, keep waiting. I'm going to be changing up soon. Keep waiting. The Holy Spirit tells us, hey, keep waiting. A time is coming. It affirms it to us. So if the customer care tells me I got 9 minutes, guess what? I can run to the bathroom, right? And then come back. God, and through his Holy Spirit, guides us even in our waiting. And while we're waiting on God, we are waiting with God, and he is there the whole time. He is empowering us and guiding us, and he is also interceding for us. Romans 8:26 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. If you have ever been to a doctor's appointment with Vivian, one of our Northsiders, many of you have. It's a beautiful thing. Because the doctors may be saying all these things to you that you just don't get. And you can't wrap your head around the anxiety of your situation or the pain you might be in or the questions on the table or what lies ahead. And guess what Vivian does? With her medical knowledge, she intervenes. She says what needs to be said. She asks questions that need to be asked. And she does it on behalf of someone who can't do it. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us, right? In our waiting, when you say, I don't know what to say right now to get out of this situation or what you want me to do, I am completely at a loss of words. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to take this from you and I'm going to intervene with God for you. That's what he does. So in our waiting, we have the Spirit that will talk to God the Father on our behalf. It's amazing and beautiful. While we're waiting on God, we are waiting with God. He is there the whole time. And he is empowering us and guiding us and interceding for us and most certainly comforting us. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, all words for helper to be with you forever. I love the message, the message paraphrase does of the next 2 verses in this passage of the comfort of the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. This is from the message. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I'm alive and you're about to come alive. And at the moment, you will know absolutely that I'm in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you. That's comfort. Man, we love to be comforted. You know, Jesus is that, and the Holy Spirit and God the Father is that warm tea on a cold day. It's that strong hug when you're about to collapse. It's that soothing voice in the middle of chaos. It's that bread that satisfies hunger. It's that sweet massage on strained muscles. It's comforting. His presence brings comfort. We are never alone. God has always desired to be with his people, from the garden to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. He made sure his presence is possible. My question is, do you realize he's here?
Yeah.
Do you realize he's here? While we are waiting on God, we are waiting with God. He is there the whole time. His presence does not just take up space. It is empowering and guiding and intercedes and comforting. What an awesome person to have waiting with us, right?
Yes.
In our waiting, we can be satisfied because he is all we need. You are not alone. Let's close with this reading together. Trust in his timing, rely on his promises, wait for his answers, believe in his miracles, rejoice in his goodness, relax in his presence. While we are waiting on God, we are waiting with God. He is there the whole time. Emmanuel, God is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how you love us. My goodness, you have chased after us. Our entire history, God, of your people messing up and making mistakes and feeling guilty and ashamed, and you saying, come to my presence. I bring forgiveness. I bring hope. I bring the Spirit. I bring it all. Father, we will never understand that kind of love. But Father, we appreciate it so much. And Father, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you, Father, for making a way through Jesus Christ that we could be reconciled to you. Thank you, God, that not only do you want to be with us, you want good things for us. And you want your kids to be empowered. And you want your kids to know how to pray to you. And you want your kids to be satisfied with you alone. And you want your kids to be comforted. You are such an awesome God. And I'm telling you, I can't understand the magnitude of it at this moment. It's overwhelming how great you are. And Father, we know that in our waiting, in our time of waiting for especially things like healing, Father, that you're with us, you're holding our hand. Father, we do pray for Les today, who is in a time of waiting for his health with his open heart surgery on Tuesday, Father. We know that you are there in his waiting and you are there the whole time. And that you understand pain and you understand health and you understand all of the things, Father, that we experience here on earth. And you are the perfect person to be waiting with. So, Father, give him your peace and your guidance and your intercession as he prepares for that on Tuesday, Father. And we ask that you heal him in your mighty name, Jesus. And for all those here today, Lord, who are maybe waiting on something, thinking this next thing, if they just get married, if they just have kids, if they just find someone, if the relationships were just restored, they would be satisfied, God, or speak to their hearts right now and say, you can be satisfied right now because I'm here. Father, make that known to them, that they would feel your presence in a way they've never felt before. No matter if they don't have enough money, or they don't have a roof, or they don't have food, or they don't have that husband, or they don't have that wife, whatever it is, they can be satisfied in you alone, oh God. Speak to them today, God. Take off the blinders that we've put on our eyes, or the things that we've bought into in this world that have sold us something that's not true. Take it all away, Father, and may the truth just be represented in their hearts and minds today. And would they know without a doubt, you are all we need. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.